Chapter 29, The Long Bus, a chapter on mandatory vaccination for children with special needs. I just don't see how we are going to get away with this without massive lawsuits, lawsuits in federal court. It was warmer than usual for a summer evening in Santa Barbara, which suited the 8 gentlemen and 11 ladies just fine. The sunset over the ocean view from the hotel's rooftop lounge topped off a long day of discussion and debate, and the cocktails and hors d'oeuvres were a nice reward for their hard work. Oh, you worry too much, Jimmy. It's not like they can sue us. They'd be suing our school districts. As if any of them had any money for a lawsuit. Yeah, as if. The group of 4 middle-aged men who all grew up watching Wayne's World on SNL chuckled at Arnold's impression of the 80s iconic male figure. No, I'm serious, guys. We all know we will be directing our schools to break federal law by doing this, right? I'm not just imagining that. Yes, you are right, admitted Arnold, and our legal counsel has advised us of that already. But he assures us that playing the keeping kids safe card will at least protect us in the public eye, and officially it will be the school districts that are breaking the law. He's confident the few parents that the vaccine law applies to won't have the money or energy to sue the schools over this. The 4 men and the 15 other members of the gathering all worked for the same department in their school districts, special education. They had all flown in from a variety of other states to enjoy the warm California weather and to meet with one of the Californians to learn how to deal with the special kids in their own states. It was their sworn duty to ensure that all special needs kids in their state received a decent education, and any speech, occupational therapy, and educational services that were required to achieve that. But the new mandatory vaccination laws were making that problematic. Jim Ratzenberger, no relation to the actor, had been at this job in the Midwest for going on 20 years now, and he loved it. But the one thing that bothered him was how the number of children with special needs in his state continued to rise. He checked the California numbers on the flight out here, which were now up to 734,000 kids, up almost 20,000 from last year, and up from about 550,000 20 years ago, and much of that increase was due to autism. Some of the other disabilities, like dyslexia, had decreased slightly, but autism continued to rise, and that bothered him. How is it that we, as a modern nation, which should have the healthiest and smartest kids in the world, are continuing to fail so miserably when it comes to raising mentally and intellectually healthy kids? What the hell is going on in the parenting and pediatric world that we are missing? He'd asked himself that many times, and he'd asked his colleagues, but no one had an answer. Almost 10% of public school children were now enrolled in special education in his state, and that number was 12% in California. Jim remembered his own years in elementary school back in the 70s. Back then, we only had one special kiddo in the class. Every school only had 4 or 5 total, large schools, that is. We used to tease them about having to ride the short bus to school. Now we don't even have short buses anymore. The laughter around Jim shook him out of his reverie. He'd missed a joke, he knew, but smiled to play along anyway. So let me just lay this out one last time, guys, and then I promise I'll shut up. Jim jumped back in. I know, this is supposed to be a party, but hear me out. We know that the federal IDEA law, Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, requires that all kids with disabilities have access to an education, an equal education. We can't keep them out of school, no matter how disproportionate the cost per child that is involved. And none of us want to keep them out, of course. Knowing that fact, Senators Pan and Allen here in California caved to allowing an amendment into the new mandatory vaccination law, SB 277, that states, and I quote from Section 2H, "This section does not prohibit a pupil who qualifies for an IEP, an individualized education program, pursuant to federal law and Section 56206 of the Education Code, from accessing special education and related services required by his or her IEP. Plus, IDEA doesn't just guarantee special services to these kids, it guarantees a full and equal education." Now, we all know that when Pan and Allen first submitted their vaccine bill, there was no mention of IEP kids. They hadn't even thought of that. They were just going to force vaccination on all those kids or kick them out of school and their IEP services. They'd just sit at home to rot. I'm told by a friend in the legislature that when someone pointed out to them, Pan was like, "So?" I can't imagine Pan reacting that way. He's a pretty decent guy. But that's what my friend told me. Anyway, Allen got upset, supposedly. He said not only would that hurt him politically, kicking these kids out of school, but it was also wrong. So he convinced Pan to compromise and allow the amendment. Allen even clarified this during the hearing in the California Assembly, that the federal IDEA law was important, and the amendment to the vaccine law covered this issue. Allen's a lawyer, I think, so sticking to the federal law was important to him. But Pan made the language of the amendment too confusing. It's open to interpretation. I think it's very clear what it meant and what they intended by it, but some of you don't agree. Anyway, during the assembly hearing when they were arguing in public against the opposition to this bill, Assemblymember Waldron, she related this to me later, she and I go way back, was handed a question from one of the doctors in the audience who opposed this bill, asking her to challenge Pan and Allen on the wording of this amendment. So Waldron actually called Fred Balcom, the head of special education for the entire state of California, up to the stand and asked him if the amendment meant that kids with IEPs would be allowed to not only get their special services, but also participate in normal classroom activities with all other kids. Essentially, would they be able to attend school like normal kids? And Fred said yes. She asked again, "And that's just with that amendment that allows that?" And again, Fred said yes. And now we are all going back on that. We are all here this weekend from all corners of the country to decide how we are all going to interpret that amendment when this law comes to our states, to decide if we are going to follow IDEA and allow unvaccinated IEP kids in school or make them stay home. Furthermore, Allen has put the word out confirming that kids with IEPs should be allowed in school and not have to submit to the new vaccine law. His office has been fielding calls from parents asking for help. He's even spoken with a few school districts, but he has no power, no authority to influence what schools do now. It's like he opened Pandora's box with this new law of his, thinking it seemed like a good idea, without really thinking through all the implications. Now he's trying to save some of the kids he's kicked out of school, but he can't. California schools don't have to listen to anything he says. And what's also ironic to me is that some of these kids have IEPs because of severe vaccine reactions. Those rare reactions where a kid has a seizure the night of vaccines and is never the same again. Their brain is fried. The parents complied with the vaccination, their kid got gorked, and now they want to keep coming to school without completing vaccination. And you all want to deny them what semblance of a normal life they might have? even if they didn't get their special needs because of vaccines, like maybe it was genetic, or maybe they had meningitis, or maybe they just developed problems for no reason. The brains of these kids are already fragile enough. Aren't they now even more susceptible to chemicals and anything that can irritate their system, like vaccines? Isn't that a valid argument? Jim paused and looked around at his three friends, all decent guys whom he'd known for many years. What he saw reflected in their eyes wasn't annoyance or disagreement, like he'd seen on many of the faces when he'd made the same plea to the whole group earlier that day. It was something else. Resignation? Helplessness? He glanced into his empty glass. F, how many of these have I had? Listen, Jimmy, Arnold sympathized, again with the hand on his shoulder, the earlier joviality gone from his voice. You know we agree with you. But we also want to keep our jobs. This plan is going to be forced on all of us. We either play nice or get out of the bathtub. And I don't even think it was up to Fred here in California either. Someone way up at the very top, and I don't know who, has decided that all school children, each and every single one, without exception, must be fully vaccinated. It's going to happen in my state and in each of yours. Most of the IEP parents don't want to finish the vaccines, and a growing number of all parents are questioning vaccines, especially vaccines that their kids don't need. So now the powers that be have a chance to at least force the special needs kids to get vaccinated or get out, and they're using us to get it done. It sucks, but I don't see any alternative. But the way they want us to go about this is just, I don't know, criminal? I think that it's the only way, jumped in Todd, and it puts the onus back on the parents. We don't technically kick them out of their special ed services. We offer to provide them at home. We tell the parents we have to follow the part of the law that says they can no longer set foot onto the school campus, but yes, they are entitled to their special ed services. So we send the services to them at home. Yeah, it will cost us more money to do that in the short term for every parent that elects to keep their child home instead of vaccinate. But the number of families who will choose that is small, in my opinion. And our lawyers already told us that even though this violates IDEA, they will deal with the federal lawsuits. We don't have to. I spoke with Sally from one of the California school districts. She said this approach is going very well. They only had three takers in the whole county. Three moms who said, okay, bring the services to my child at home. Sally did, and the kids spent the first week of school at home getting their half hour of speech therapy that week and their 1 hour of daily tutoring. What they did the other 7 hours of every day, I don't know. Then they went and got medical excuses from a doctor who agreed that their kids had severe reactions to vaccines earlier in life, so they shouldn't get any more. Two of these kids are currently back in school, for now. The director of the county public health department disqualified one of the medical excuses. I don't know how or why he would be able to overrule the child's own doctor, but all other special needs kids in the entire county are finishing their vaccines, or had already done so because the parents didn't think vaccines were a problem. Vaccination rates are way up in her county overall. These parents need their kids to be in school full-time so both parents can work. They can't afford to not send their kids to school. And seriously, for some of these kids who are totally gorked out, it doesn't matter where they are, at home or at school. They ain't learning nothing, as my English teacher used to joke. And the parents know it. They just need us to babysit their kids all day so they can either work or get a break. A much-needed break, I'll admit. But bottom line is that it's working. And so now the higher-ups want all the public school districts nationwide in every vaccine-mandatory state to follow the same approach. Abide by the law by giving the special kids all their IEP services at home. And those who do manage to get medical excuses to not vaccinate, well, we've been assured that that's going to go away soon as well. We'll have our 100% vaccination rate no matter what. But hey, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling it like it is. Well then, the California Public Health Department better get off its fat ass and change their website, said Jim, because right now, on shotsforschool.org, under FAQ number 3, it clearly states, quote, students who have an IEP should continue to receive all necessary services identified in their IEP, regardless of their vaccination status. But that's just it, said Arnold. We will be doing that, but at their homes. We are going to have to stop writing, quotes, 7 hours of mainstream classroom time every day into their IEPs. You are correct, Jimmy, that legally right now we are required to give all these kids everything that is written in their IEPs, regardless of whether or not they are finishing vaccines. And many of these kids have their normal classroom time. Sorry, mainstream classroom time. We're not supposed to use the N-word around these kids anymore. Written into their IEPs this year. But next year that will change too. We'll only write in their special ed services. So that's all they will be entitled to. And that, countered Jimmy, is where all the lawsuits will come into play. Because we will be completely ignoring the equal education part of IDEA. We aren't just required to provide special services. All aspects of these kids' special education need to be equal. And at home ain't equal. We already have enough of these parents suing the school districts because we don't provide enough services. Now they'll be taking us to federal court. They already spend $12 billion a year here in California alone on special ed. My state spends about half that. And the federal government only provides about 10% of that. How are we going to afford these lawsuits? Who exactly do you think is going to sue us? The parents? They don't have any money for that. They are all tapped out. Yeah, there'll be a few, but that's it. Our lawyer in my state is very confident of this. The ACLU won't touch this. They already made that clear back when the California mandatory vaccine law was being debated. Sure, there are some public watchdog groups who may file, but our lawyers are ready for that. But won't parents start suing us when some of their special needs kids start reacting poorly to their vaccines? Throughout Jim, his last argument. Seriously, Jimmy? Todd again. Who would even be able to tell if more vaccines made them worse? How are they even going to prove that? Their kids are already damaged. What's a little more going to hurt? Resources for this chapter are available at johnphilipryan.com.